Welcome this morning, everyone. Today what I'd like us to do is to begin a series where we look at some of the key ideas upon which the new church is founded. And to do that today, we are going to be drawing from one of the Gospels as our primary source of inspiration. And that Gospel is the Gospel of Mark. And there are a number of reasons why I've chosen the Gospel of Mark in order to do this. Mark is the shortest of the Gospels, it being a mere 16 chapters long. It is fast-paced and easy to read. And it is my hope that you will take the time over the coming week to become familiar with that Gospel, because it gives us a very good general knowledge of what is contained in all the Gospels. In the Sundays where we will be drawing from Mark's Gospel, we will be drawing from it, and our focus will not so much be on the structure of the Gospel, but on those key fundamental truths evident in the passages of our focus. So please, please make the time to read it for yourself in its entirety. The content of Mark's Gospel is believed by biblical scholars to form the basis of the text of Matthew and Luke's Gospels. Thus, getting familiar with Mark's Gospel will go some way to getting a feel for the contents of the others. Together, these three Gospels are known as the Synoptic Gospels. And simply, the term synoptic just means to be seen together, and it refers to the similarities that exist between Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's a gospel that is full of action. As I mentioned, it is fast moving. It moves very quickly through the details of the Lord's life, having a style like an eyewitness account. So it's my hope that in getting back to basics through looking at the gospel, we will be better equipped individually to be able to share our faith with others from the Lord's Word. Learning to communicate what the new church possesses from the Word itself, from the Gospel, is the most powerful method of evangelization that the church has. Because if we do that, then we can have the confidence that we are taking an approach which is in accordance with divine order. It was Jesus' life and teaching that brought the disciples to a point where they acknowledged Him as the living God. That same life and teaching we will see is captured in the Gospels, and it is the Lord in these that people need to be brought into contact with. What I hope you'll be able to see is that the literal sense of the word, understood in the light of the heavenly doctrines of the new church, is a most potent weapon the church has. The most potent weapon we have to reach the lost. From the word this morning is from the book of Isaiah. And we are reading chapter 9, verses 2 through to 8. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice over you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And second reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now a reading from the Heavenly Doctrines from the Arcana Celestia, paragraph 2005. The Lord's internal came from the Father, and so was the Father himself. Hence the Lord's declaration that the Father is within him, and that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. He who sees me sees the Father. I and the Father are one, as is clear from the places quoted above. In the Old Testament word as well, he is called Father, as in Isaiah. To us a boy is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, God, Hero, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. It is clear to anyone that the boy born to us and the son given to us is the Lord, who is named Father of Eternity. Of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Gospel is emphatic in its opening statement. It pulls no punches in its openly declaration and immediately challenges its reader to consider who Jesus Christ actually is. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There can be no doubting the evangelist's statement or intent here. In keeping with the meaning of his own name, Mark, which means a hammer, Mark in his opening statement strikes his reader's mind with the most profound and powerful statement the human ear could ever hear. That statement is, that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. In the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord declares, Is not my word like a fire, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? The word from Jeremiah is spoken to challenge those prophets who would seek to make the Lord's word less than what it actually is. Mark's opening statement sets the context for understanding all that follows and challenges anyone who would seek to make Jesus Christ any less than divine. Mark was a Jew, and this opening statement within the Jewish mindset places Jesus Christ equal with Jehovah, the name of the supreme God of the Jewish faith. The Jewish response to this declaration by Jesus himself in John's Gospel was to seek all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. John 5:18. That Mark declares him to be the Son of God shows he recognizes Jesus to be one with God. For that which comes forth from God is divine and cannot be separate from Him. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. The new church holds to this fundamental truth. Jesus Christ is Jehovah Himself in His divine human. And in case there is some misunderstanding, Mark brings his hammer to bear upon our ears again, saying, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The word translated as Lord here in the passage from Isaiah is the name Jehovah. Thus the voice of one crying in the wilderness says, Prepare the way of Jehovah. The link is drawn to the Jewish mind and it is unmistakable. This truth that Jesus Christ is God incarnate is the rock upon which the new church is founded, and all who would enter heaven recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as God. Those who are unable to accept this truth in the next life cannot dwell in heaven, for this acknowledgement forms the life of those who are there. The heavenly doctrines, which are the teachings upon which the new church is founded, state in the opening volume of the Arcana in Numbers 14 and 15 that in all that follows the name the Lord is used exclusively to mean the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, and He is called the Lord without the addition of the rest of His names. Throughout heaven, He is acknowledged and worshipped as Lord, since He has all power in heaven and earth. This He also commanded when He said, You call me Lord, and you are right, for so I am. Furthermore, after the resurrection, the disciples called Him Lord. Throughout heaven, they do not know any other Father than the Lord, for they are one, as He Himself had said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Philip said, Show us the Father. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So why do you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. This acknowledgement then marks the beginning of the good news or the gospel in a person's life. The good news being that because Jehovah clothed Himself in human flesh, He was able to live among us as one of us, presenting Himself as the living embodiment of the Word in a form that we could see, hear, touch, and feel. Every action the Lord performed, every word He spoke, He did so in order to fulfill what the Scriptures said concerning Himself. This He did from the divine love within Himself. What the disciples heard and saw was a living expression of the divine love itself, expressed in such a way that it could be apprehended through the five human senses. This is truly remarkable. For the Lord, through His life in a human body, entered the material realm and was able, through what He said and did, to lay a foundation within the minds of those who loved Him, into which the divine love could flow and make itself known to them. Jesus said, Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do, for whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. The Lord's life among those whom He gathered to Himself was stored in their memories. Much like an impression a footprint makes in soft earth. Every action, word spoken, was a perfect correspondence of divine love and wisdom expressed on the material or sense plane. These actions and words stirred thoughts and feelings within those around Him, the impressions of which remained in their memories. These memories were precious beyond our comprehension, for by means of them, the Lord would bring forth the written record of His life as captured for us in the Gospels. To acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Jehovah and therefore is indeed the Lord is to recognize that all that He said and did is divine also. For what comes forth from the divine must possess divine qualities. And if it has divine qualities, then it is inseparable from the divine Himself. Those who recognize and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord recognize that the gospel record of His life is inseparable from Him. We have in the written text of the Gospels the divine life itself made available to us in a form we can apprehend by means of our senses. The Word, the heavenly doctrine state, is the Lord. And John declares in his Gospel that the Word is God. Jesus Christ was not a human being just like you and I. He wasn't a teacher or a prophet in a long line of teachers or prophets for the benefit of humankind's enlightenment. He wasn't even an exceptional healer among healers. The idea that we can take comfort from the fact that a man no different in essence than any other man was able to reach levels of enlightenment, thereby offering hope to all humanity that we too can become just as enlightened, is a false hope. Our hope rests in the knowledge that Jesus Christ was in essence unlike any other man that had ever walked the earth. For the scriptures and the heavenly doctrines make it very clear that Jesus Christ is the one and only God who is to be worshipped and adored, and we approach Him through His Word. In the Apocalypse explained, 612, concerning the Gospel we read, that by the Gospel is signified the Lord Himself as to His advent. Friends, what you have in your hands when you pick up the Gospels and read them is the Lord Himself, the divine life in a form accommodated to your senses so that you can receive Him. Jesus Himself said that the words He spoke, they are spirit and they are life. All that He asks is that we approach Him with an open heart, with a willingness to believe. If a person would do this, then they too, like His disciples of old, see Him going about doing the will of Him who sent Him, and hear Him speak with authority. Those who possess an open heart, who are willing to believe, who cry from their depths like the father who sought the Lord to deliver his child from the grip of possession, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. These the Lord is truly able to meet. For in reading and hearing the words of the Gospels, a person receives into their minds impressions and memories perfectly suited to receiving the Lord Himself. In this way, He clothes Himself yet again with a human form, not in the external world, but in the internal world of a person's thoughts and affections as they are associated with the Word. This is why the Lord had to fulfill all things on the material plane of existence. We are the most external of people, totally reliant on our senses. He had to be able to have something in us with which He could make Himself known. And because we are so dependent on our senses, He therefore had to live out the divine life in the material world. Once this was done, and His life and words were recorded, He effectively put in place the means by which we could be lifted out of the darkened realm of our senses into the light of heaven. Prior to His material manifestation in the world, the realm of the senses had become ruled by the devil and Satan. Evil and falsity dominated the minds of the human race. but through His coming into the world and living a perfect life in accordance with divine order, living truth became manifest on the material plane, and now nothing contrary to His love can stand before it. Thus the prince of this world was truly cast out. So now a way is provided for all to know the one true God, even our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The single idea or truth that Jesus is God sets the new church apart from all other religions. It is the cornerstone that all others have rejected. The simple truth is the gospel, the glad tidings which the Lord wants us to take out and proclaim to the world. We in the new church have been guilty of overcomplicating things. Presented with such a comprehensive theology, most of us end up looking bewildered when asked to share our faith with others outside the church. We almost enter into a state of paralysis when the word evangelization is mentioned, struggling to see where to begin. But even the sporting coach or life coach knows, and they will tell you, do the basics well and all else will follow. Mark's opening statement shows us where to begin. The basic, simple truth upon which this church is founded and against which the gates of hell will not prevail is this: Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What we have in the heavenly doctrines on nearly every page is this truth, that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. That was what the second coming was about. That was what was restored to us. This simple, single truth. And should we doubt the power of the word, should we doubt its power to strike to the heart of any human being, all we are asked to do is to point people to the gospel account and urge them to consider what it says concerning the Lord. If we would look to become skilled in doing this, then the rest would follow. John makes this statement about the things written in his gospel. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. And there is this wonderful teaching found in the heavenly doctrines, in the book True Christian Religion. The Lord is present with every person, urging them and pressing them to receive Him. And when a person receives Him, which happens when they acknowledge Him as their God, the Creator, Redeemer and Savior, this is His first coming, and it is called twilight. From this time, the person begins to have his understanding enlightened as regards spiritual matters, and to advance to more and more inward wisdom. As they receive this wisdom from the Lord, so they advance through morning into day, and they continue in this daylight up to old age, and until they die. After death, they come into heaven to the Lord Himself, and there, despite the fact that they died in an old age, they are brought back to the morning of their life, and continue forever to develop the wisdom which was implanted in them in the natural world. The dilemma the new church has found itself in with regard to evangelization is that it has tried to present people with the Lord as to his second coming before they have received him in his first coming. The statement from True Christian Religion tells us that the Lord is present with every person, urging and pressing them to receive him. But they need to be shown where he is. That is the responsibility of the church. Our responsibility is to point them to the Word so that this urging and pressing from the Lord, which comes from within their being, which is the divine good, the divine love concerned for their salvation, that this within them might be married to the divine truth of the Word that is present in their memory. Because that is what it is there for. The Word is there to set up correspondences at the most external level of a person so that the Lord, who is urging and pressing, has something in a person with which he can make himself known to them. The Lord is quite capable of saving a person. The fact we are here is testament to that. All we're asked to do is to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ in his Word. It isn't complicated. It's not a convoluted theology. It is very, very basic. So basic that many of us have missed it. Yet the simple truth is incredibly profound. It is only once a person has made this acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the Lord of heaven and earth, it is only once they have made that acknowledgement that they can then advance into deeper, more spiritual matters. That is what true Christian religion tells us. This acknowledgement cannot be separated from his Word, from seeing the Word as divine. The Word, the heavenly doctrines state, is the Lord. Such an understanding allows a person to come to the Word with the reverence required and the expectation that the Lord will meet them in it. And then it truly becomes that living water that Jesus spoke about to the woman at the well. We shouldn't shy away from presenting the Lord to others and challenging them to search the Scriptures with an open mind. We have nothing to lose, and they certainly have everything to gain. For in doing so, in pointing them in the direction, we offer them a chance to have an encounter with the living God, an encounter which could change them forever. Amen. Lord, we ask that you place the fire of your love within our hearts. And Lord, that you would smash to pieces ideas and fears that exist in our minds, which prevents that love from coming forth as you would have it be. Lord, all we have to do is trust you. Trust your Word, knowing that you are indeed in it and from it, urging and pressing. Lord, urging and pressing your church to take hold of the life you have so freely given and to share this with others. Lord, may your fire enlighten our minds. May we see opportunities and not shrink back. Lord, we thank you that it is your work and that we are but vessels and instruments in your hand. Amen.